Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Well, a bit of a special night tonight because we have in the studio a British champion, a Newark sportsperson who has competed, not just been, competed in no less than 5 Olympics. And it's a chance for me to tell you one of my biggest claims to fame. I've been with her in her bedroom. There you see. Welcome back to local radio, a special friend, Natalie Blake. And she's brought a chauffeur with us as well. That's even more exciting. Natalie, hello.
Hello.
Back on local radio, not before time as well. You know, resplendent there in your British weightlifting top, and you haven't brought all your medals in, have you, as well?
No.
No, what we're going
to... I've got too many to carry.
Oh, modesty. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about your career. We're going to go right back to the beginning, and we're going to have a Natalie Blake hour. And when I say she's brought a chauffeur with her tonight... she's also brought a trainer with her tonight, and Stuart Birch is here, and he's going to tell us what's it like to train a superstar, and does she actually listen to anything he says?
No,
I think probably not, but let's do this first. And another bad set of results for our football teams in their latest pre-season matches at the weekend. Newark Town lost their third consecutive match to Notts Senior League opposition when they went down 4-2 at Bingham Town. A strong-looking Flowserve side lost 3-1 at Collingham. They did take the lead, but a hat-trick from their old player Darrell Price did the damage. Better news, though, for the reformed Works second 11. They beat their Sarple counterparts by 4-2. And another hat-trick man, Chris Self, tried to walk off with the match ball. And there's plenty of football action tonight. Flowserve are at Shirebrook, Newark Town are at Harrowby, and Collingham entertain Lincoln United in a good-looking match at Station Road. Time to get to that one still.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
I'm getting a little bit worried about our football teams, Tony. I went to watch Flowserve at Collingham, and for the first half, they looked a good... set up, strong team, good solid players, but they couldn't cope with Darrell Price. Live with Darrell Price, to be quite honest.
Few people can.
He took a very, very good hat trick.
Yeah, he's a cracking footballer.
That was a bit of a worry, I would have thought.
I don't think so, because you can't take anything into account with pre-season games. It's when the league points are at stake that it matters.
One person I did sort of a little bit surprised to see, Ant Brown from Wheatsheaf, Southwell City.
Oh, yeah.
In his Flowserve kit. Looking the part, in the middle of the midfield there. So, Flowserve, it's a bit like crossing the divide, isn't it?
Flowserve have made some cracking signings pre-season, and I think they really are going to have a tremendous squad. Certainly a very keen competition for places. It's just a matter of how many members of the squad that Flossa have managed to hold on to, given there are so many bodies on board this season.
They're playing tonight at Shirebrook, and they're playing on Thursday night at Ollerton.
At home to Ollerton,
yeah. That's two tough games. Two very tough games. I mean, you've got to have tough games. I'm not knocking the fact that they're tough games, but if they're looking for a booster result, if they get one in the next couple of games, they'll have done very well.
But pre-season matches are all about putting miles into your legs and getting back up to match fitness, which is a lot of difference between being fit. There's a world of difference between being fit and match fitness, and it's important that you're at 100% match fitness when the first league game comes about. So they've got until August the 12th to worry about that.
Are you fit or match fit?
I am fit, give or take a vowel.
I haven't seen Newark Town yet, so I don't know what they've got, but being beaten by Curtin Brickworks and 4-2 at Bingham Town doesn't bode too well.
The thing that raised my eyebrow was...
And I know what you've just said, but it's still two poor results.
4-2 at Bingham Town is a worry. I think it's going to be a long, hard season for Newark Town, whereas I'm very, very excited about what lies ahead of us at Flowserve.
You notice this, listener, don't you? What lies ahead of us at Flowserve? Once again, our Mr. Smith has jumped on a bandwagon.
Not at
he
all.
He did it with RHP because they were successful. Then he went to Newark R&M. Come on.
That's not true.
That's not true.
People have jumped on the bandwagon after they saw that I joined.
Good riposte. Give you that one. It must be a hell of a size bandwagon. We're going to talk to Adrian Speed a little bit later on.
Oh, yeah.
About Grantham's build-up to the new season. They've got an interesting game on Friday at home to Nottingham Forest.
Really?
And they've signed one of your club's star players.
So they have indeed, yeah.
We'll talk about that one after 7:30. And with any amount of luck, and anybody that listens to this show on a regular basis will know this is pure good fortune and luck, we're going to try and talk to what I believe is only the fourth man ever to complete 100 sub-3-hour marathons.
If we can find him.
Yes. That's the worry. If we can find him. He's out there somewhere. I did send him a reminder. Has he sent anything back? No.
It bodes well.
Who was the first man to complete 100 sub-3-hour marathons? And you'll know his name.
Ron Hill.
I was the editor of the Advertiser for 25. Yes, well done, young man.
Thank you.
You see, it's not true what they say. You do know a bit about sport.
Oh, that bit was true, what they said, yeah.
So, Ron Hill and Adam Holland has joined a very, very elite group.
Of two, I would imagine.
He says four.
Oh, four, is it?
Somebody who doesn't know, and John Pickard, or Ron Pickard, or Fred Pickard, somebody. Adam will tell us.
Mm.
And the great Adam Holland.
But even so...
It's not bad company, is it?
That's not bad company, that.
It's not bad company at all. We're going to have a quick look at the national headlines a little bit later on, because we're not really bothered about the national headlines. But you know, you talk about elite company.
Mm.
How many people can you name that's been to five Olympics?
There's Natalie Blake.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. And that's it, really, that I can think of.
And talking of elite company, there's only so many people I can name that I've been in a lady's bedroom with.
Yeah.
And that takes us back to Natalie.
That's very elite company.
My bestest friend.
And Natalie says that every night to everybody.
Yeah, but I mean it with Natalie. I mean it with Natalie. Natalie Blake, welcome back, as I said, to local radio. You've on a bit of a crest of a wave at the moment. Tell us what you've been up to in the last few months. Sport-wise, that is.
Been training really hard. Been winning medals here and there.
What's the medals?
Bench press medals.
Keep going. I want to know... Yeah, I know what you are. You're the British champion. Come on, don't be modest.
Well, recently I've won two medals. I did one in an able-bodied competition in July, the 3rd of July. And then I did one in the 16th of this month.
And you got a second in that one.
I came second in that one with 103 kilos.
What? Which gave you the most enjoyment? The gold in the able-bodied? Because that's hell of a feat.
Both of them did. Because I've put more weight on the bar in both comps, so it's just getting there and focusing.
Now, you're still a young girl. You are, despite what you're going to tell me, you are a young girl, but you seem to have been in the Newark sports sort of scope, don't you, Tony, for ever and a day, really. How long have you been weightlifting? I mean, you've been to five Olympics, even I can work that one out, but...
I started when I was 15. So I started about 99.
Have you ever fallen out of love with it?
Yeah, I have. But I've always grown back to loving it again.
Excellent. Well, what I want you to do tonight is take us back to 1999. Get your memory head on. Take us back there, and we'll just see how all this started, and you can tell us the reasons why it started. But with you tonight, we welcome for the first time on the sports show, Stuart Birch. And Stuart, you've got the dubious honour of being Natalie's trainer.
Yeah.
How did that one come about?
Natalie came to me 4.5 years ago, looking for a place to base herself to train. And we took her on, and she's never left us. She trains hard. She trains 3 or 4 times a week with us, and also she trains with the British weightlifting team down in Loughborough. So she has a hectic schedule for that as well. So I'm just tasked with pushing her just that little bit harder to try and get more weight on the bar. I'm very lucky because Natalie's one of those sort of people that relishes the challenge of lifting heavy all of the time, and she responds to lifting heavy as opposed to let's do lots of light reps and get away with it. But she responds to doing the hard work, so it makes it more interesting for me.
Now, in your gym at Farndon, we'll give it a quick plug. I said I wouldn't, but let's give it a quick plug. I can only get shot once.
I've had a PHP gym in Farndon. I've had that for 5 years now. And I started originally just purely on the basis of doing strongman, which is what attracted Natalie to what we do. So,
and amongst the superstars that you get there, you also train our resident breakfast show host,
Lady Victoria. Yes.
What's she like to train? Because she doesn't listen to anything we tell her.
She just comes in, puts her ear pods on, and goes to work.
Yes.
And I'll give her a credit. She does that. She does work. She does do a lot of hard work, and she is continually upping the weights. So it would be nice to see you down there challenging her one day, Mick.
So what we need to... Yeah, right. So what we need to do is put her pods on when she gets here, then, to get the same commitment out of her.
Yeah, you probably get the same amount of work out of her, yeah.
Because she won't be listening to this.
I'm sure she is.
No, she won't be listening. No, she won't. If you are listening, Victoria Cousins, I think you're absolutely wonderful.
Don't we all?
But not as wonderful as Natalie. Because even though I've been to your ass, I've never been where I've been with Natalie. Right. What are you laughing at?
Wouldn't be allowed.
Look, it's not 9 o'clock.
It's near enough. Natalie, let's go back right to 1999 then. Why weightlifting? What led up to that decision?
Well, I did other sports before I came into powerlifting. I did wheelchair racing, and I came across powerlifting through that when I went to a competition in Stoke Mandeville at the junior games with my school. So I took my racing chair down there with my school. I did a few races, and they said try out powerlifting, so I did, and I won the competition. Lifted twice my own body weight. They found that I had good potential, and they said, could you come back and train with the squad that was down there? So ever since then, I got rid of my racing chair and stuck at lifting.
You did say you probably regretted it at some stages, but we'll talk about the dark moments, if you like. It just seemed then that you was... Ah, oh, Lady Victoria! She's come to see us. She's going in next door. Come in this one. She's coming to see... No, I don't know what she's doing. She's all over. There she is.
I have to come and see these two.
Oh, that's nice, Tony, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cheers, man.
Your coach has just been telling us what a good trainer Natalie is, and then he told us about you.
I know, I heard it.
Yeah. It's a bit rough, wasn't it?
Terrible. Well, you said some lovely things about me.
Just put the ear pads on in the corner, and they leave you to it. Wash the pots or whatever else you do.
Perhaps Matt could try that.
Getting him into a gym would be a first.
I'm at the breakfast show.
You have to work on this show. Right. You're stopping, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. Right, so we're back in 1999. You've been there, you took it by storm. If there ever was such a thing as a natural, then you're the natural.
Yes.
And you did that first, the first lifts, and that went went well, and then you went back. This is going back to Stoke Mandeville or Loughborough.
This is going back to Stoke Mandeville.
So that's not in itself easy, is it?
No.
But how many times did you have to go back there then? Because this was obviously where the sport was done. Because
yeah,
if we go back to 1999, and one of the things that we make a big play of on this show is our, and I hate the term, and I say it time and time again, and still nobody's given me a better term, our disability sport over the last 20 years has actually come into its own. Whereas previously, and I'll use the saying yet again, what Tony said when he was at the Advertiser, if Natalie did something, it would go in the news pages. Now it goes on the sports pages, and that's exactly where it should be, because it is a sport. It's as important a sport. So, but in those days, it was Stoke Mandeville that was championing disability sport, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we were going there quite a lot, and then we were going to competition. So I went to my first competition in Stanfordly Hope, and then from there we flew over to America. So I won both comps there.
We flew over to America. Yeah. Just, you know, it just throws it into the conversation.
They were my two first major competitions for me.
And can you remember what the competitions actually were then?
The one in America was called Oklahoma McAllister. So
it was just in Oklahoma?
Yeah, it was just in a hotel. All different people from different American nations coming together. And we were just competing.
And by this time, you was obviously being noticed. Because if you'd gone over there and won, suddenly the name Natalie Blake was sort of on people's lips in the sport. And did you find people coming to you and you was progressing up that ladder, so to speak?
It took a bit of time to gradually get up to the ladder. But we got there. With all the hard work.
And after the break, Natalie's going to tell us a little bit more about what went on when she became a superstar. Stay with us, because my bestest friend's coming back soon. Still to come, Adrian Speed and Grantham Town and Adam Holland. Fingers crossed, hopefully, only the fourth person ever, ever, ever to achieve 100 sub-3-hour marathons. And he did it today, and his first major national interview is with Radio Newark Sport. That's how powerful we are. Okay, let's go back to my little superstar here. You'd been to America, you come back an even bigger star than when you went, but was it still Stoke Mandeville every time for training?
Yes, and at home with my dad. But yes, that's where we were based until I got chosen to be in the elite squad, and then it all sort of changed.
Go on then, carry on. I'm mesmerised. Carry on.
We train in different places, but yeah, it's been really hard work.
Father's played a very important part in this, hasn't he? I mean, not only is he the official chauffeur, but he was also, for long periods of time, your trainer as well.
Yes, he still is. Now and again, yeah, he still is. He still likes to help with the programmes and tell us what we need and what we don't need. And so, yeah, he's still around.
So this, we'll pop back to Stuart then now, because Natalie said programmes. I'm not sure I'm going to put this and put it correctly. Do you have to do different schedules of programmes for Natalie with a disability, or how do you programme?
Natalie is a one-off, and I don't mean that rudely. Natalie's a one-off because everybody's body reacts to training in a different way, as much as Victoria's does when she's training, or Tony's would. But with Natalie, the training is all upper body strength, because predominantly, you know, she has to strap her legs down to do the job that she has to do when she's doing a bench pressing. So we have to train the upper body all of the time. And then we put a specific program in place to enable her to get to certain weights. So that when she goes into a competition, we then have a choice of what weight she starts to lift at. So for a competition that she would go into, you would probably have a dad, the British weightlifting coach, and another coach there as well, all behind the scenes, one working with Natalie, one watching what all your competitors are doing, and also one watching what's going on the desk when people are booking in, say, well, what I'm going to lift on my first lift.
Just stop just a second there. Watching what the other... I assumed it was all down to what Natalie did on the day, and you wasn't really bothered about anybody else, because whatever Natalie could lift is what Natalie's going to lift. So this is weightlifting, obviously, in general, which I always perceived as an individual, a total individual sport. There's a bit behind the scenes then,
isn't there? A lot of work goes on behind the scenes. Obviously, when Natalie's in a competition, she's there very early in the morning to weigh in, and she's not allowed to eat till she's weighed in. Then she's going to
You'll be no good then, Vicky.
She's allowed to then go and feed herself and get herself ready for the competition. But then she also has to warm up. So she has to go and warm up. And so somebody has to work with her on the bar to keep her warm. And somebody then is judging what's going on with the other competitors, and also what the judges and people are writing down, and they're saying, what is what my first lift's going to be? And it's you have to be really clever with it and understand where you're going to pitch your first lift. Are your competitors going to go in heavy right at the start and blow you completely out of the water? Or are you going to go in at the start and say, well, this is what I'm going to lift. Let's see what you lot can lift. So it's a bit of a tactical game that goes on every weightlifting competition. That's not just for one. This is just an Natalie. It happens for every competitor. So we go with an idea of what Natalie is going to lift. And then we make a decision whether we need to sort of bring that down a little bit, save a bit of energy just in reserve to pull a big one out at the end. Or do we just go in heavy and go straight from the start and put everybody else on the back foot?
Interesting, very interesting. How many lifts do you actually get then? Because obviously you can't just go on and on and on.
There's about three, but you can do a fourth one, whether it's a British record or a European record.
So the tournament itself is three, but if you think you can go for a record, you're allowed that fourth lift. So wasn't in those three lifts then, do you go in first with, right, this is my best first lift, get it over with, beat that, or do you go in low?
I don't make that decision.
You don't make that decision. It's
the coach's decision.
So you get no say in it then?
No, I just go on the bench.
You're just told to lift.
Yeah. That's basically I get told that I'm
on the plus side, if you don't win, it's their fault.
It's very, very tactical. It's just deciding where to pitch her first lift. We know what Natalie's capable of doing, and she's certainly capable of doing a lot more over the next 18 months or so. And she's lifting really heavy at the moment. She's put quite a lot of guys to shame, to be fair, including myself.
There's two here.
Yeah. So she was going in a competition, and we knew what the competition would do. We've got an idea what they're doing, what they're warming up on as well, gives you an idea. Then we would start her off somewhere in the region of about 93, 94 kilos on the first lift. Probably lift that up to 98 on the next one. And then like she did in the British Championship, she pushed 103.
Is that your record?
Yeah.
So you're getting stronger all the time. You are getting, even though you've been to five Olympics, you are still getting better.
Yes.
This is why you're my favourite. You're out of it now. I want to talk about the Olympic Games in a few minutes. Which ones have been your favourites, or which one you didn't like, that sort of thing. I mean, I always think, you know, if I was a couple of pounds lighter and still a sportsman...
Still?
You could clean the benches.
You know, when I come round to my Olympics to find out it was in London... As opposed to Adelaide or somewhere in the States. So I'd be so disappointed. You know, your home Olympics, great, I can go to London any weekend I want to. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go to the other side of the world. So we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. But what I want to talk about now is that crazy world that Tony and I talk about on a regular basis called the football transfer window.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And Chelsea manager Nuno Conte will get a further £150 million to spend this summer, with Southampton's defender Virgil van Dijk and Juventus's Brazil fullback Alex Sandro, both aged 26, apparently top of his list. The Stamford Bridge side spending could match the £218 million spent by Manchester City so far in this transfer window. And if you want to talk about monopoly money, this is the time to talk about it. Arsenal forward Alexis Sanchez is willing to take a pay cut in order to join Manchester City, it's been claimed. The Chilean international wants to join City in favour of Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain or Juventus. So where do you want to go and live? Munich, Paris, Turin or Manchester? Come on! We've got a Man United supporter in here, so we better not say too much or she'll start getting mad with me. Everton are confident of completing the £45 million deal to land Swansea's Iceland international Gylfi Sigurdsson. By Thursday, they've been chasing him all summer, haven't they? And it's... I think he'll end up going, won't he? Sooner or later, Swansea have got to say yes.
They will once Everton offer £50 million. Not before.
No. And Everton sounds like they're daft enough to do it this season. Marseille are in talks to sign Celtic's 21-year-old French forward Moussa Dembélé for £20 million. Now, even though he plays in the Mickey Mouse League, I would have thought £20 million was almost a giveaway. Because what did he score, 40-something goals?
He scored in a league in which it's easier to score goals, but the way he took him, he'd have scored at any level.
I'm surprised the English boys are not chasing him. Stoke City captain Ryan Shawcross says he wants to extend his contract with the Potters. Apparently West Ham and Watford are in for him.
That's probably why.
Another ones that we spoke about last night, I haven't seen any movement whatsoever, which just proves they're all rumours, aren't they?
Yeah, but I quite like the signing of the...
It was listening, honest.
What's that film called? The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas? That's who Hernandez always reminds me of. His signing for West Ham, absolute belting signing.
I think they've got about the best signing of the summer so far. £16 million.
£16 million.
As substitutes go, he's not a bad one.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
In a few minutes, Adrian Speed and Grantham Town, but we let Natalie have a think about the Olympics and what you come up with, Natalie. What was your favourite of the five?
I would say Australia would be my memorable one.
Yeah.
Because it was my first time being at a Paralympic Games. And also it was the first time that the women were allowed to do powerlifting. So.
And where else have you been then?
Athens, Beijing, London.
I can only dream, can't you, Tony?
Rio.
You can only dream, Rio.
I would love to go to Sydney full stop.
I mean, I'd love you to go to Sydney full stop.
These days you can get return trips, you know.
You can't, can you? You went, mate, it would be one way. They still deport, you know.
My mate actually went to Australia for a gap year before he went to uni. And the customs officer said, the Australian customs officer said, have you got a police record? And he said, sorry, I didn't think it was still necessary.
You'll be in trouble.
Yeah, it's a long way to catch up.
It most certainly is.
Radio Newark, the home of Newark Sport. Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. with Mick and Tony. Newark, the home of Newark Sport. Missed one of our shows? Don't forget you can check out the podcasts and get the very latest sports news daily on our website at radionewark.co.uk.
And for the first time this season, we take a look at Grantham Town Football Club. We always like to follow Grantham because they have got Newark connections, no less than the boss himself, Mr. Adrian Speed. And we welcome, for the first time the new season, Speedy. Welcome to Back to Radio Newark.
Good evening.
Hello there. How are you?
Not too bad, Michael.
First of all, from everybody in Newark Sport, we wish your father a speedy recovery. We know he's been ill. He's still not perfect. But, you know, it would not be a local football match if he wasn't there alongside you watching. So we do just please pass on everybody in Newark Football's good wishes to father. Please do that.
I will do. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Grantham Town, you've lost your top scorer. Let's start with the bad news.
Well, not quite the top scorer. We've lost a striker, one of the pairing, but we've still got the top scorer. So it's not all bad news.
Right. Where did he go then, Adrian?
Basically, it was a Brazilian lad who lives down south, but he's been studying at Loughborough University, and he's now finished his course, and so he's moved back down south, basically, so it's just too far for him to come up.
So it's one of those that was always on the card, wasn't it?
Before the end of last season, so we knew that was going to happen.
You've been into the transfer market, or the club's been into the transfer market, but the one that interests everybody here the most, you've taken Tom Potts from RHP and local Newark Football. I've always thought he's a decent player, he's a good player, it's a big jump for him, and I wish him every good wishes. What's the thinking behind that one, Sweetie?
Well, we've had a look at a lot of lads pre-season, and we still are. I think obviously Dennis knows him quite well. We've just invited anybody down, really, and had a look at them, give them a chance, and see how they get on.
I understand he's already donned the shirt and played.
Yeah, he's played, I think, three or four times, so I think he's doing okay for himself. Obviously, it's up to the manager who he wants to keep and who he likes the look of or doesn't like the look of, so wait and see. He's still got two or three games to impress.
Good. We'll stay with the Newark connections and just go through the other two. I understand and I hope that Reece Lewis is back again for yet another Grantham Town season.
Yeah, Reece signed again. Obviously, work commitments may make him miss a couple of games, but I think, you know, Reece gives 100% all the time, so he's a great player to have involved.
I know he's not quite closing in on your 600 plus yet, but he must have had just a fair amount of appearances behind him now.
He's just racked up his 300th, if I'm not mistaken.
That's cracking going in.
Yeah.
But that's the lad that Reece is, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, he gives 100%, whatever. Just gets his head down. No bother.
And I saw Danny Meadows on the score sheet already.
Yeah, he's got a couple. He's scored two good goals. He's had a good start, good pre-season. So hopefully he can carry it on. Start the season well.
After last season, and it was a fantastic season, and well, it started off fairly slow, but when it got into gear, it was a season to remember. You've got to go and do it again though now, haven't you? People are expecting it.
People are. It's going to be tough. We've lost, I think, five of the sort of main 11 that have started so many games towards the end of the last season, have departed for one reason or another. Most of them have gone to clubs in higher divisions. Obviously, Felipe's gone back down south. So we've had to replace them. And it's just now of waiting to see if these players can step up to the mark.
Well, we hope they can. A couple of friends, you played York City last weekend.
Yeah. Obviously, they won the last season's Premier Non-League Trophy, the FA Trophy.
So yeah.
They brought a strong team down. I think the first half they played more or less their strongest 11 that they've got at the moment, so it was a good test for the lads. You could see their budget compared to ours is like 10 times what ours is. You know, they were a league club 2 years ago. So
is it Gary Mills manager there?
Yeah, Gary, yeah.
Because he was an ex-manager at Grantham, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Yeah, he was manager when we won the league 20 years ago, so you know, good connections there. Gary always sort of, with him being a Nottingham lad, he always brings his teams or whoever is in charge of to Rutland for sort of a pre-season training camp. So
he's right.
Two or three friendlies this way.
Excellent stuff. And this coming Friday night, you've got an interesting looking match against Nottingham Forest, no less.
Yeah, we've got Forest Friday night. Obviously, we played them last year and we've got them again this year. Whatever side Forest bring, it's always going to be a tough test for our lads, but it's a good workout. It's good for the lads to play against pros.
And what time's kick-off for that?
It's a 7:45 kick-off.
And it's
evening.
Pay on the gate and everybody is welcome.
Yes, oh yes, yeah.
So,
the more the merrier.
Friday night at the Mears Leisure Centre, 7:45, Grantham Town against Nottingham Forest in what looks to be a cracking way to spend a Friday evening. Adrian, I know you're having a bit of a traumatic week. Thank you for taking time out to talk to us. As I say again, please give our best wishes to Father.
I will do.
And we'll catch up with you again very, very soon as we follow Grantham Town's fortunes here on Radio Newark Sport.
Okay, thanks, mate.
Thanks, Adrian. Bye. Of course, football to Stuart Birch is no, it's the wrong shape ball completely.
Yeah, it's the wrong shape ball.
Stuart, before this programme started, said, "No, not football. I'm a rugby man." So I said, "Oh, yeah, who do you play for?" Thinking, he might tell me Southall or Paviers or Newark. Listen to this, Stuart. Who did you play rugby for?
I've played from my old school team of Birkswell and Borsall in my very younger days for Coventry. And then for Whitchurch in Shropshire, played also for Leicester and also for Leicester Forest East, and also played for Lorient in France as well. So I've had a 41-year sort of rugby career in and out.
But playing. That's been peaked right at the end by
training Natalie Blake.
Well, yes. Well, to be fair, the Kelham Road veterans.
Kelham Road veterans, yeah. love pulling on the shirt for those guys. Some great bunch of lads down there. Do quite a bit of work down there with those guys. And it's a good little community club. So, well, I say little, it's getting bigger every year. So, and it's just good to see all of the young talent from the minis right through, coming through and going off to university and still playing for the first team and wanting to come back and play again for the veterans as we get older. So
it's a wonderful club. The thing I like best about that place is going into the pavilion and going, because it smells like history. A sports pavilion should smell.
You can smell history.
Smell the history. Exactly. What's it like rugbying in France?
Different if you're English. It's changed a lot now because obviously they look forward to English players going over there. With the likes of Johnny Wilkinson going over, opened a lot of doors for a lot of players. But prior to that, there were a lot of English players over there playing anyway. But I didn't make a pro level, made a second team. But it was interesting because soon they found out you're English, you're fair game. Yeah.
But of course now that's where a lot of the big money is, isn't it?
It is. And you can't blame players for wanting to go off and better themselves. And to be fair, they do better themselves and they come back better. Most of them come back better players for it as well. So, interesting.
So you've enjoyed your rugby career. What was your highlight?
My highlight of my career, 2013. I played for Leicester Tigers of Welford Road against Jason Robinson's International 15 with some very, very talented players on their team. So it was interesting. Jason Robinson retired, could still sidestep you in a phone box with the door shut. Absolutely like lightning.
Make a note of that one, Tony.
That's got the line of the week.
That's the line of the week. Yeah.
It's very, very quick. Yeah. To turn out on the field with people like Martin Johnson, Lewis Moody, Julian White, absolutely fantastic. And to play against some very, very tough opposition as well. So it was good.
I take it you played on the wing.
Unfortunately, I have played on the wing in the past, I will tell you. I wasn't very fast, but yeah, I've played fullback once or twice.
We'll keep after this, Natalie.
I always played front row, second row, and filled in on the flanker occasionally. So, and I just go wherever Newark put me now. I'm just pleased to have somebody along.
Do you worry for the future of professional rugby, having seen what money, and you heard us talking about those stupid figures for a human being sporting services, do you worry that rugby could be going down the same lines?
It has potential to go down those lines. However, I think the powers that be in rugby at some point will say they will put a cap on it. This is enough's enough. Because at the end of the day, there's only so much money out there for everybody. And rugby players are more interested in their game than they are in the money, to be fair.
I've been lucky a few times to go and see Newcastle Falcons when we were up with the daughter and the grandchildren. And Finlay, the youngest, he's got a season ticket there. He's on first name terms with the first team players. They know who he is. He's got the autograph countless times. But the point is, they know him. Because at the end of the match, they come in for a drink with him. They put their arm round him. They have a photo taken with him again and again and again. But that's not the point. But they know him.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get that in professional football. Jermaine Defoe accepted, but you wouldn't get that in professional football. These lads come and have a drink, and you're allowed to walk over the... It's 4G, and I've been on the 4G. They said, have a walk on it, see what it's like. You wouldn't be allowed near it.
No.
That's what rugby cannot lose.
I don't think it will. As I said, Newark is all about a community sport, as a community rugby club anyway, and I think every club has that. And they every club has history, and they all encourage the icons of their game for their youngsters to, you know, aspire to. And it's good that they allow them to do that, because there's nothing great, nothing better than, you know, as a youngster running out thinking, I'm going to play on that pitch one day, I want to do that. And, you know, the rugby powers that be will make that happen wherever.
Which also brings us back to Natalie, when, and I am sure other people have looked at Natalie and said, I can do that, I can follow that, let me have a go.
Definitely.
And, you know, and that's probably the biggest accolade I can give you, Natalie, is that people are following you, because you and what you have achieved and what you're still doing is bringing one or two of the less fortunate people out there saying, well, hang on, just a minute, let me have a go. And that must gratify you more than anything.
Yeah, it's nice that people want to follow me and try and achieve what they want to achieve in powerlifting. So it'll be nice to see more people join in powerlifting or any other sport, but more the powerlifting side. So
you've been reporting on Miss Blake for countless years?
Since I was a boy. Yeah.
She's not that.
Thanks.
You think you had problems with me?
But there was one thing that Natalie said earlier this evening, and I thought to myself, I don't think I could lift my own, twice my own body weight. I don't think it's humanly possible. But yeah.
Tony, there is a crane out there that can lift twice your weight.
But I've been reporting on Natalie for certainly over the course of the 5 Olympics. Perhaps not the last one, but certainly the first 4. But it's just been an inspirational story, hasn't it? And like, sort of, there are people, I'm sure, out there that read stories like we have on the radio that think, hang on, why not me? And for every one of that, that's what makes this show worth its weight in gold.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Should do.
It's not all been smiles, though, has it? Because there's a lot of hard work been in, and you have had, like all sports people, you've had bad days, disappointing days.
Yes.
What is it like on a bad day? How long does it take you to get over it? I mean, I used to sort of, when I had a bad day, only supporting teams, you couldn't talk to me, you couldn't be near me. And, you know, if FloServ got beat on a Saturday afternoon, the wife never spoke to me until Tuesday. It wasn't worth it. But could you just sort of go back home and say, oh, well, move on? Or does it sort of grind that it didn't work?
It does take a bit to move on. At the same time, I have to realise that I can't win all the competitions. I can only have a bad day once in a while. So I just have to stay focused and just enjoy what I'm doing.
I think in sport, when you win, it's, hooray, let's have a drink. And then the following day, you think, right, the next one. When you lose, you think about it for 3 or 4 days. When you win, it's just a good night out. When you lose, it gives you a long thinking time. 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Let's try and talk to somebody who's not used to losing. A bit more of a problem answering his phone, but he's not used to losing. I'm so pleased to say that we're keeping in touch with a young man that doesn't actually live in Newark anymore, but he is still one of the Newark sports superstars, and we welcome to Radio Newark, Adam Holland. Adam, good evening.
Good evening.
Where are you?
Good question.
What part of the country are you in then?
Lancashire.
You're in Lancashire, right? Yeah, that's nowhere near Devon where you moved off to. Why are you in Lancashire?
I'm doing 7 marathons in 7 days.
Only you. And the main reason for ringing you tonight, though, Adam, is something very, very special happened today.
Yes?
Go on, I'll let you tell us all.
Okay. Well, something I'd never imagined I would do, but I completed my 100th sub-3-hour marathon this morning.
Adam, that is just... It's unbelievable to start with, but it's fantastic. Fantastic achievement. Am I right in saying then that we think you're only the fourth person ever to do it?
Well, I don't know if it's fourth. It's fourth British person. I don't know if there's anyone like in the US or.
Yeah, but they won't count.
Well, the people I put on my list earlier are all British people.
But the first one that you put on your list, Adam, is an absolute. The legend of long distance running, isn't it, Ron Hill?
Yes, it is.
I mean, you are now on the same hand when you count as Ron Hill. I mean, how does that feel for somebody like yourself?
I feel good.
I think you do.
That is nice.
And that is a record that even Guinness can't take away from you.
No, it isn't.
Okay, so that was what the second of the 7 in 7 today, was it?
It was indeed, yeah.
It was. So, 5 more to do. How are you feeling? You've sort of played 2-1-2. Are we on for a 7 out of 7?
I'd like to think so. I'm sleeping in my tent, and I've got 2 carry bags of bits and bobs of food. And
yeah, Haribo.
No, I'm Granny Haribo.
All right. You're going up market now, you're in Devon.
No, I've still got Jaffa Cakes. I've got Angel Delights. I've got a bit of coleslaw to go with my bread rolls. I've got crisps, Golden Whisper, and a few other. Oh, I've got pineapple as well there, and biscuits.
I've got a fitness coach sitting in the studio, Adam. He just fell off his seat.
Well, you'll have to pick him up.
Got Natalie to pick him up.
Right, you're down in Devon now, and you're doing those Devon runs, and from what I've seen, it's not a problem, but you found some hills.
There's always hills in Devon, and a lot of the events I've done have been on hills, and all 3 of the ones I did on Saturday are all hills.
I understand you're better at going down them than you are up them.
Yeah, on Strava, you've got what's called segments where you try and beat other people that have done the same piece. And I've noticed a lot of the downhill ones I'm taking by storm. And at the Hell of the Hill is a really big downhill finish. And I flew down that one.
What?
Quite quickly.
What is there going to be a bit of... hill training then coming into it?
At some point. I've got more marathons coming up first.
Adam, we're going to keep...
where I'm going.
Go on.
Italy.
Italy?
Yeah.
Good lad. When are you off there?
It's the 4th to the 15th of next month.
August.
That's the one.
Well, we're taking our summer break there, but I'll tell you what, Adam, when we come back in September, we'll catch up with you again.
Cool. They've invited me over there to take part in their 10 in 10, so...
That's fantastic. You see, they appreciate you, even if Windermere don't.
Yeah.
I'll say it, you don't have to.
Thank you.
Adam, fantastic achievement. Fantastic. 100 sub 3 hours. That is just the stuff of legends.
Thank you.
Enjoy Italy. Enjoy your running. We'll keep telling people in Newark what you're up to, and we'll catch up to you. We'll catch up with you again in September.
Rock on.
Thanks, Adam.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye bye. Bye. There you are, Stuart. He breaks every rule in the book, and he does it.
Sometimes you just got to eat what you've got to eat.
You know, I mean, he does it.
If it's there and you need it, you've got to eat it.
And you were telling me that Natalie breaks most of the rules in the book as well.
Yeah, she's pretty good. She doesn't like being told what she has to do, but if you put it in front of her, she'll eat it. So, especially if her dad's not looking.
Natalie, what have you got? What's in the calendar for the rest of this year? Or she looks straight at Stuart, you see. Typical sportsman.
there's a chance that she
there
will
is
be...
a chance that I there is a chance that there may be a chance of me going
to Mexico.
To Mexico.
Mexico?
Yes.
Tell me more. Stuart, come on. She's in one of those modest moves
with
again.
With the last lift that she did in the British Championships, she's in the running for a position to go to Mexico. And that's all we know at the moment. So we can't really say much more than that. It's fingers crossed. Yeah, it's fingers crossed.
Oh, come on. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
And then following that, hopefully, we'll move on and hopefully Commonwealth Games Australia will be the next move.
If I don't pick any injuries up.
Well, don't. Right? You're not allowed to. That'd be your fault. You're the trainer.
Yeah. And then following that, more local able-bodied competitions, hopefully, in between, just to keep Natalie at her peak all of the time.
Yeah.
And then long distance, we're looking at the next Olympics, obviously.
Where are they? Just remind me. Where's
Tokyo.
Yeah, okay. So
which will be a sixth
Mexico. Olympics. Where was the middle one? Australia
was the first one.
No, you're going to Tokyo.
Mexico possibly first.
Yeah, Mexico coming up possibly, fingers crossed. What was the one to follow that?
Australia.
And then Tokyo. Yeah, okay, well, that's not a bad next 3 or 4 years, is it? We'll live with that. Radio Newark really should come with you. The sports team really should be with you. You need some sort of media presence there.
Someone's already said that to me.
No good asking the breakfast show because all they want.
Someone's already asked me.
All they do is play music and take selfies. What you need is somebody that's going to look after you.
She's already asked me.
Yes.
I think you should get an international ASBO if there is such a thing. Keep Mick away from your bedroom.
Absolutely no good. The breakfast show's never been to your bedroom, have they? The sports show have.
Yes.
That's what really matters. It's been fantastic. Stuart, thank you for chauffeuring. Natalie, what a star. Don't make it so long next time. Come back and say an awful lot quicker, please. Tomorrow night, all our yesterdays with Dave Miller. But for us, that's it. Bye-bye.